something's trying to jump on me, of all people. But I fight back. We're delighted that God has brought us to this place again where we can fellowship one with another and sing praises to his holy and righteous and adorable name. Turning your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And we'll read a few verses there, make a few comments, and the lesson will be yours. Familiar scene. Familiar sequence of events. Chapter 9. Jesus is on his way to conclude his mission on planet Earth. Commencing with verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went on their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But that person said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Seems like a reasonable request. But Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And a third said, Lord, I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them goodbye or farewell, which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, No man, having done what? Put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus does not accept excuses for non-performance. A time to decide, a commitment to make. We have a picture of the commitment to which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is calling us. We see our Lord as he makes his path, because he has made his decision. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, knowing that a cross awaited him. Certainly, that being the case, it was a very costly commitment. He was going to give it all. He had put his hand to the plow. And thank God Almighty, he was not turning back. He is committed to please his Father, to finish his course, to carry out the commission that his Father has sent him to planet Earth to carry out. Jesus Christ, he has made his decision. As we embark upon this year of 2016, we don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. He's blessed us to be a part of, a member of, this year. I believe with all my heart that he is watching over us and he's keeping us. Let us be diligent Let us have the mindset of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What I've started, I'm going to finish by the grace of God. Our Lord is calling us to our commitment. The commitment that we made when we were buried in water baptism for the remission of our sins. He's not turning back. We must follow His example. His commission, our commission. That's the setting. And in between His travel, arriving, leaving, going, and getting where He was going, He meets three different characters. Every one of us can perhaps identify with one of these men. Why? Because each one of them shows us what it is to be committed to following Jesus. Our Lord is on His way to Jerusalem to complete a mission that His Father sent Him some 30 years prior, almost 40. It happened as He journeyed on the road, these three characters. Someone said unto Him, Lord, I want to go with You. I want to follow You wherever You go. He wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to volunteer. He thought it would be a wonderful thing. No doubt he had heard about the miracles that Jesus had wrought. We don't know what he was thinking because the Bible doesn't tell us as to whether or not he was thinking that Jesus was going to perform another miracle and not go to a cross. He said, I want to join your team in essence. I want to work some miracles and hear you teach. I want to go with you. He had a noble request. He wanted to go. But you see, he wanted to go on his terms. He wanted to follow Jesus on his terms. And I don't doubt for a moment that he probably figured or thought that Jesus would not turn me down. Jesus didn't send him away, but what Jesus said, there is something I want you to know. There is more to what I am engaged in than what you're looking at. Jesus showed this man the utter deprivation of what he was going through. He explained or shared with him what was going on. I don't have a permanent home in the countryside. I have no place, no certain place at night to lay my head. I don't have all of what you might think I have from the physical standpoint. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air, they have nests. He says, but me, I don't know where I'm going to lay down at night. I may not have anywhere to lay my head. I want you to know what it is to follow me. I want you to know what it's like to get involved with me. I want you to understand the price that you will pay to follow me. So count the cost. There's going to be some dark days ahead. It's going to be tough. Sacrifice, loss, deprivation, and it's going to be necessary for you to face it bravely. The life that Jesus is calling us to. A phrase that the old kind pioneer preachers use. It's not the flowery beds of ease. There is a price. There is a price to pay for everyone that follows Jesus. The Lord wanted this volunteer to know that there was a price to pay so that you can count the cost. We are called upon not only to believe in Jesus, but we are also called upon from time to time to suffer for Jesus. Your Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." I don't know, some of you, you may be facing a real challenge in your life at this time. You may be paying a price in a particular area where God has allowed you to go. It may be lonely. It's been hard, challenging, difficult. Maybe there's been some misunderstanding because you've taken a chance, you've taken a stand for your Lord and your Savior. Our Lord says, face it bravely. I made it clear that there would be a cost in following me. As we march down through the days and months of this year, there may be costs that we had not anticipated. There may be challenges that we will face that are difficult. All because we put Jesus first in our life. Jesus had to pay a price to be Jesus. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we should not be surprised that from time to time there will be challenges to face. But by the grace of God, may he bless us to decide to face the commitment, whatever commitment he calls us to. Until, like Paul, we can say, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body," are you there? "The marks of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. This following Jesus is not always a bed of roses. It wasn't even always a bed of roses for Jesus to follow Jesus. A second man came as a draftee in verses 59 and 60. "Then he said unto another, follow me, another man, follow me. But that man said, all right, I will gladly follow you, but Lord, there's just one thing I need to do before I follow you. Let me go and bury my dad. Let me go and bury my father. In verse 60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead do what? Let the dead bury their own dead. But I want you to go. I want you to put my business first. Let them take care of him. But you go and carry my message to the world. As we living in the 21st century, hear these words and observe this scene. From the human perspective, it might seem to be a bit cruel, a bit callous. You mean to tell me Jesus couldn't spare just a few hours? What difference would a day or two make? This man wanted to go and take care of his business ahead of Jesus' business. With Jesus, that's not allowed. I'm coming first because I put you first. I don't take second place in your life. Jesus says, no. When I call you, you must decide now. Today is the day to make that decision to follow me. This is much more important than what you are talking about. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the lost bury the dead. You go and preach my kingdom. There was demand. Based upon Jesus' remark, there was demand for that man to make a decision. And the demand was immediate and urgent. Decide now what you want to do. Follow me or follow your own business. My business come first. We hope, pray, and trust that in these days as we face task after task, that he allows us to encounter of sharing and living according to his instructions. That God will bless us with the strength, with the courage, and the determination to put his business first. To do things in such a way that our Lord would be able to say unto us, at the close of our year, as we look for another one, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Let us spend some time. Let me rephrase that. Let us spend more time. Since we know the consequences of not following Jesus, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Let us talk to the Father that he might bless us to be diligent, steadfast, unmovable in living the life and endeavoring to share it as opportunity presents itself. Because if you don't tell them, if you don't tell them, when opportunity arises, they may never hear the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The last man, and then I'm finished. The third man, verses 61 and 62. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. But let me go, not to bury my father, He's all right. Let me go and say goodbye to my folks back at the house. Jesus says, all right, but hurry back. Not so. Verse 62. But Jesus said to him, no one, having done what? Put his hand to the plow. Does that phrase include us? It includes every member of the Lord's church. No man, having put his hand to the gospel plow and looking back, is what? Fit for the kingdom. Now listen, if you're not fit for the kingdom, there's only one other place for you to go. The man who wanted to say goodbye. But Jesus, he's too cautious. He's too calculating. Let me go and say goodbye. Jesus says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is of any use to me for my work. I want you to go today and share my news. Too often the man who goes back, who looks back rather, goes back. There's an old saying, no farmer can plow a straight furrow looking back over his shoulder. There can be no inner conversation or reservation, no hedging. I want you to go. Put your hand to the plow. People are dying, not knowing my truth, and no turning back. That's what the Lord wants for us to continue to do as we embark and have been blessed to be brought into this new year. Because one day in the past, you and I, we set our hand to the gospel plow. Sometimes it has brought limitations, challenges, difficulties. Jesus still says, today, be not weary. Today, like Paul, you are my prisoner. So when you set your hand to the plow, don't stop, don't quit, and don't look back. So the question comes tonight, are you battle scarred? Have you made any sacrifices? Have you been called upon to make any sacrifices for his cause? In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17, from henceforth, Paul says, let no man trouble me. Why, Paul? For I bear in my body the signs that I'm following Jesus. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, let us continue and be not weary to face the commitment to which God has called us. Until, like the Apostle Paul, our forerunner, we can say, let no one trouble me. Why? For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The suffering, the challenges. I didn't turn back and I didn't turn around and I didn't turn back. John chapter 20 and verse 27. to the doubting Thomas. Then saith he to Thomas. You remember when he met with his apostles after his death, his resurrection? He let Thomas check him out. Reach hither your finger and behold my hands. Thrust your hand into my side and be not faithless, but believing. Staying in touch with our Lord and Savior. Jesus says, I bear in my body the scars of decision, the scars of commitment, and the determination of not turning back. Let us do what's necessary to make God look good. Let us do what's necessary to fulfill our calling into His kingdom, to live the life and to share it with others, and no turning back. At the close of the year, there may be some scars. There may be some scars. But what is scar? What are scars? When you have the love of God and the love of His Son, Jesus Christ, on your side, waiting to welcome you home and saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You remember Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, and that I'm closing because my 10 minutes are up. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, Satan or the devil shall cast you into prison that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulations a certain number of days. Or he talks about 10 days. You're going to suffer. But notice how he closes the verse. Be. Is there a T-R-O-Y in front of the word be? He didn't say try to be, but be. Be thou what? Faithful. Until you can't move a muscle. Faithful unto death. And in the end result of your commitment to my cause, of not quitting, of not getting up, I will give you a crown of life, eternal life, that fadeth not away. Anybody interested? The lesson is yours. If there are those here who would like to ask the church to pray for them, that they might be strengthened. If there are those of here, those servants of His that are here and has walked contrary to His will and to His way, and you need to ask the forgiveness, His forgiveness, you come. There may be precious souls who want to come and follow Jesus with no excuses, but want to be added to His family. Believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Be godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed, repentance. Come and acknowledge before this audience that you believe that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord, Savior, and the Son of God. And then, as the precious soul was this morning, be buried in water baptism. For the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. And God will add you right now, quick and in a hurry, to his family, the Church of Christ. He will send you the guardian Holy Spirit, that you may be encouraged to strengthen, to walk in the pathway of duty. That privilege and that opportunity is yours. As we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.